You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stukats Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
There is, Stugatz, a lot of energy around here and a lot to talk about because it felt like the playoffs started last night, just if you were watching hockey and how it is that Washington got in.
Oh, it was great.
And then you're watching the play-in games, which are a genuine success, where you're watching, you can tune in one game, are the Warriors finished? Are the Warriors as we know them finished? And are they really going out with Klay Thompson going 0-10? 0-10, Klay Thompson, that's going to be his last game. That's how it sputters to an end. So you saw one of the old greats extinguished, and somehow LeBron is beating Zion at his best when LeBron is 6-20 and Anthony Davis is 6-16. You've got to win that game at home. Road playoff games. If you're New Orleans, you have to win that game at home.
You do.
If you're the Lakers, you can't believe that you won a road playoff game, the equivalent of a road playoff game, with the oldest player in the league, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. They played good games, but they were not efficient games. You have to beat them when you're at home. They just got a bunch of free throws.
That was a fun game to watch last night. LeBron is incredible. He really is. At 39 years of age, to give you 23-9-9, three steals, two blocks, incredible. But it was unfortunate because I wanted to see that game play out with Zion being healthy. That was the best game Zion has had as a pro, 40 points at home in a must-win game, and he got hurt late in the game, and I have no idea what happened to Zion Williamson. It was strange.
Okay, but this is where I wanted to start today because the Warriors are finished. It's over. I told you that a lot of people thought that they were going to turn something on in the playoffs, and it's just an old thing now. And I want to put up this tweet from Miles Brown because you have to understand, Stugatz, this thing burned hot for a decade. Best shooting backcourt we've ever seen. You've lived long enough to see them revolutionize the sport. They left it different than they found it. The game is played totally different because of how they mastered it. And showed us, oh, wait, three-on-one break. Look, they've got two guys going to the corners. They don't want the two-point shot anymore. They want the three-point shot. But in the middle of that, a furnace. And here's what Miles Brown says about that furnace. They were 73-9, but this guy couldn't contain his nut-touching fetish. They got a top three small forward ever, and this guy ran him off. They got a top-tier six man, and this guy punched him in the face. He pods poorly with no respect for reality and is terrified of open jumpers. Free Steph Curry.
I don't want to hear it today. I mean, it's easy to take shots and poke holes at Draymond Green today. Draymond Green was a massive part of that team winning four NBA titles. And he helped recruit Kevin Durant. I don't want to hear it today.
Okay, but nothing he said there was untrue, and I thought you would buy in on as soon as the game is over.
Fetish is strong.
Free Steph Curry.
Who are we talking about? I don't know. Who is he referring to?
You think fetish? You think nut fetish is too strong?
Nut-touching fetish feels strong.
Yeah. It's,
I mean, he's done it a ton of times with his feet and his
competitive advantage via nuts is probably more like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't like the wording?
It's just weird.
He got ejected for a game in the final. He cost them a championship because he couldn't stop kicking people in the junk.
Sounds like you're kink-shaming.
Mm. Of all people.
The NBA kink-shamed him, not me. They suspended him, not me. I like when somebody, when a whole team builds around a crazed furnace that makes Steph Curry cry.
These are solid points that he brings up. Yeah, he ran off Kevin Durant, but they also had a lot of success. And, I mean, lamenting the loss of Jordan Poole is a decision, I guess. But they won plenty.
Yes.
And he was
they
a big
won
reason.
Four titles.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen that clip of Klay Thompson explaining to Draymond on Draymond's podcast exactly why they need him out there. Even during this stretch where there was a dip in form, he was still hugely important to them. So I understand, like, dancing on the grave of the Golden State Warriors at this time, and particularly dancing on Draymond Green's grave, but it feels like a weird flex. Hugely successful. immensely successful.
Their season was over the second they signed Chris Paul.
LeBron, they almost traded for him, which would have made...
He didn't want to go there.
Made things interesting. I want to... Give me a stat of the day here. Give me the stat of the day music.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is your stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is your stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is your stat of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day.
Warrior fans are mad today. They have gotten used to winning, and they spent the night, late into the night, arguing with a whispering Nick Wright on the internet. We'll get to that in a second. But the stat of the day, Stugat, is that this year, okay, Klay Thompson went 5 for 5 on free throws in his last game to have more than 125 for the season and therefore qualify. Klay Thompson had the highest shooting percentage on the last day, passing teammate Steph Curry, okay? So Steph Curry shot for the season 92.3, and on the last day, Klay goes 5 for 5 to go over 125 and finish at 92.7. 2 years ago, Jordan Poole, on the last day, goes 4 for 4 on the last day to pass Steph Curry for the free throw percentage lead from 92.3 to 92.4. That is inside the weeds. I just can't believe that that's statistically so. That two straight seasons, not only has Steph Curry shot exactly 92.3% from the line, but both seasons, his teammate has passed him on the last day in free throw percentage.
You think Steph cares? Do you?
I think about that. I think if you're that good at such a meticulous thing like that, I don't know that anyone else does. I didn't even know if I could engage the room because it's just math, and who cares? It's free throw percentage. Why are these balloons here?
I have no idea.
Is it Stu's birthday?
It's nope. 1 year here
Happy
at the Elser.
It's our birthday.
1 year here at the Elser, which I am eternally grateful for because you want to talk about an upgrade in terms of venue and just studio size. But I was kind of taken aback at how loud the volume, no pun intended, was of people really enjoying the Golden State Warriors losing. And then I kind of figured it out. They didn't really get to grave dance on the Golden State Warriors when Kevin Durant left. Because if you remember how that finals ended with the Raptors beating them, Klay got injured, Kevin Durant got injured, and it was really unsatisfying because Golden State had all the excuses in the world to say you didn't actually knock out the champ. So we've had that in reserve. We haven't really had the chance to celebrate with good reason saying definitively you're not good enough to this Golden State team in quite a while.
What Mike is saying about the now of this, Stugat, it is rare that you get the stage to yourself because LeBron won. LeBron won last night.
Yes.
So you can't turn – and even if LeBron had lost, he would have had another chance. Something ended last night. Steph would look like he was crying on the court. Draymond can't stop getting ejected. They've got a problem with – because this part is fascinating to me, Stugatz. I would think that winning would always be fun. I would think that being better than everyone else all the time would always be fun. And yet, it's a pressure cooker that spits out Kevin Durant, that makes Draymond run so high that he's punching teammates in the face, seems totally out of control. And last night, on the stage by itself, we get to say, before the playoffs really start, goodbye to the Golden State Warriors. As you know them, immediately after the game, Steve Kerr is saying, we want Klay back, and other people will want Klay. He will be a great shooter for somebody. But that team was light years ahead. Their ownership said, we're light years ahead. They built.
Well, that's nonsense, Dan. They're not light years ahead.
They
had Steph Curry.
They had competitive advantages because of what they could do around the salary cap and because around the business. They were light years ahead. And the league caught up as they got old. And now it's over. It's done. Amin, our basketball expert, I was telling him all season, I'm like, this is finished, right? And he was, nope, I'm still scared of them. I'm scared of playoff experience. I respect too much how hard it is to win. You just mentioned, who did you mention? Did you mention Toronto? Kawhi Leonard won one, solidified himself forever. It's really hard to do. Toronto has fallen apart since then. That Sacramento team in free fall at the end of the season. They did it once last year. Then the expectations came, free fall. That's what ended you. That everybody was fearing, what if they turn up that championship thing? No, they got crushed. Clay's 0-10 in a game that they needed.
Well, Steph wasn't, you know, he wasn't great. He needed to be great last night, especially with Clay being that off, and he was not great. And people are probably celebrating. Mike is right. The fact that this team appears to be finally finished. Steph Curry is not finished. This team, the core of this team, is done, and people are delighting in that.
It just felt like Steph had to wear all of the burden of Draymond, of Klay Thompson, of the entire team, and it was almost too much for him yesterday. In the first half, he was terrible.
Yeah.
Ellis was taking his cookies. Keegan Murray was stopping him everywhere he went. He got off a couple cookies. Shots, but that was it.
I'm amazed that we all stayed up that late to watch it, first of all.
I was locked
Second
in.
Of all, what I'm confused what Nick Wright did. And third of all, were you a little sad you weren't invited to his wedding thing this weekend, Dan?
I'm just learning right now that he had a wedding thing this weekend.
Wow.
Mike also was not invited.
Yeah,
a wedding thing.
Renewed vows.
Really?
That's renewed a little bit more intimate,
It was
though.
Basically a wedding. And I mean, Joy Taylor was there. Omani was there.
You are informing
you guys were not
me.
There.
I'm learning. You are correct.
Mike should have been there. I mean,
Jessica, put it in. Put it on the side. I want to talk about this with you because you're just teaching me something
you're
right
doing
now.
The Trump meme. I'm just hearing this for the first time.
You're hurt.
Vow renewal.
Billy, do not invite me to your vow renewal.
How many years is it?
Right.
Well, I mean, I don't know the story.
You
there.
Buy a gift for that?
No, absolutely. But
if you get a first wedding gift, that's it. No renewal.
Billy, well, I don't we know. All know why you weren't invited. Okay.
Well,
I don't know if they had a big wedding. Initially, and maybe this was an opportunity to like, okay, a few years gone by, we'll like, let's renew our vows and actually have a wedding to the size and scope that we didn't have before.
I don't even understand the concept. We're just congratulating you on not getting divorced. Like, that's everyone that's not divorced.
They might have eloped. You don't know the deal.
Who in our crew you think's most likely to renew?
Dan.
Yeah, Dan, for sure.
He just got married.
Yeah, Dan.
It's still Dan.
Dude, the invite's in the mail.
I think it's funny that we're critiquing somebody else's romantic vow renewal when we have a bunch of balloons in the studio celebrating our year in a building.
Wow. I don't think that's even right, if I'm going to be honest with you, because I got like one of those flashback things that I was already in the building like a week ago. So I think that we got the date wrong.
By the way, when I was walking in this morning, I saw on the sidewalk right in front of the Elser a pack of Newports inside a half-drinking, like, beer cup, like, yeah. Dip cup or something.
That was mine.
And I thought about the Clevelander for a second because I was like, man, we used to see this every single day.
Yeah. I kind of look back the way I do. Like, Marlins Park is nice, very fancy. But I look back at Pro Player, and I kind of miss those days. You guys don't have any nostalgia for the Clevelander? Yeah. Like, a little, like, there's part of me, obviously, this is so much nicer. Yeah. But there's things I just kind of miss that time.
Yeah. Man, I don't miss it at all.
I do.
I really don't. I want to meet you there.
It was so smelly.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
There are aspects of being on ESPN I miss.
That's what Christmas is.
Yeah, but from the facility standpoint, no.
I miss it every time I see McAfee on TV.
Oh, boy.
Missed it when I got my seats for WrestleMania, I'll tell you that.
Just every airport, every television.
I'm there, you know, and I'm on vacation at a bar, just getting a virgin pina colada. I look up Pat's on every TV. I go, I used to be there.
Remember when?
Not where he's sitting, where the guy with the half mullet thing is sitting.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Le Batard.
You are very comfortable talking about how you met your wife, how much you love her, how important she is to you, and that's the reason that I asked the question. I've always admired that about you, that you have no problems whatsoever professing your love.
Well, the thing is, I got a new wife now. You know, me and Bianca didn't make it. So I moved on. We moved on. It was for the better. Both of us.
Stugatz.
Things just got a little awkward there. So let me be the first on this show to congratulate you on the new wife, Vince. Congratulations on feeling whole, feeling complete, you know? Let's talk tailgating. Yeah.
Don't feel awkward, buddy. You know,
I don't.
Oh, it's
I mean,
too late for that.
Does.
It's much
I mean,
too
Dan,
late for that, Vince. I appreciate you soothing me in this regard, but I already feel terribly awkward. And then my teammate comes to my defense with not a question, but just a healthy congratulations and the further pointing out of that awkwardness, because he's always good for me in those spots. I'm also thinking of divorce, Vince, after many, many years, 18 years, with a partner who does things like that to you.
This is the Don Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Tony, do you know where Taking His Cookies is from? Do you know? Because you used the phrase Taking His Cookies, and yeah. I think you're too young to remember where that originated. The first time I ever heard it was about Pablo Prigioni of the New York Knicks, and it was the loudest Knicks fan I had ever heard to that date talking.
Pablo Prigioni, taking your cookies.
That's right.
I remember that.
From 2010. That's the first time I'd
ever. It's been around since way longer than that, Dan. We're talking about like N1 mixtape days, Real Hoopers Know, back in the day, early 2000s.
Okay,
I reject all cookies.
I thought you were too young to know where that phrase came from, but I will tell you now, Jessica, what happened with Nick Wright. Warrior fans, you can imagine, right? I don't know how the people listening to this feel about Warrior fans, but any fan base that does a gluttonous amount of winning and has the best thing is going to become an entitled, spoiled, loud fan base. I don't think there's such a thing as a graceful entity inside of sports fandom if you've won a bunch.
Like the Heat fan base?
Any fan base that does a good amount of winning gets used to it. And that one, to me, like, imagine what the Patriot fan was like last season. I mean, you're running Bill Belichick out of town and nobody even blames you because, yep, that's where he put the standard. The Warriors have put this standard on. They've changed the entire sport, and now fans are mad and they're saying Steve Kerr doesn't know what he's doing. But understand what you saw last night. That whole conference is better than them. They lost to a team in free fall, one game for your season. The game was not close. Nobody fears Sacramento this year. If it happened last year, you would have understood. That team was not playing well at the end of the season, and the dynasty falls to its knees when you expected something from it. And so those fans are going to be rabid about why did that just happen? Why is it over? Why does everyone get to dance on our grave?
Those fans need to get over it. They've had Steph Curry. They had Kevin Durant. They had Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, 4 NBA championships. Get over it.
Okay,
seriously,
Dan. Not,
any fan base would take that run and be happy with it.
They're not over it because last night after this game, there is a time for blame. And Nick Wright has ended up, I don't know why he's doing this. I think perhaps because he's just addicted to giving his opinion to people and winning arguments. And he's mad. He is mad because now Mina and Pablo just broke that huge story yesterday. Mina and Pablo are teaming up to do like celebrity game show stuff together.
Wow.
And so Nick is up in the middle of the night, pathetically, desperately, looking for a place to argue with Warrior fans. And he found it on Twitter Spaces.
Think we have a good idea of what our coach is and isn't and is capable of doing since we watched all 82 games this season?
Start to finish. 82.
Of course I understand the idea that what you are doing right there is like an appeal to authority fallacy, but I will go with it that you guys are the authority. But then that, if you want to follow that same exact logical train, then don't you think the general manager, team president, and owner watch it even closer than you guys? Like, no, you don't.
I disagree with that.
No, absolutely not.
Oh my God.
I disagree with that.
The same way that you don't watch every single game.
Bro.
Okay, so, I mean, he destroyed this entire fan base as if it wasn't destroyed enough.
He did that from his bathroom. Yeah. Kids were sleeping.
That's something you do that your wife doesn't know you're doing.
Well, yes, and this, I thought at the beginning, what I thought was happening at the beginning, I'm like, man, I've never heard Nick so reasonable, and this is a great way to do debate when you have the winning argument. Pound the facts. Don't pound the table. And so I'm thinking to myself, he's being a real pro keeping his composure. No, he didn't want his wife to hear it. He was going to wake up the kids. And so this is how he argued with the Warrior fan base while dancing on its grave to their faces.
The way you talk, the way you just said about Trace and like you're trying to make it sound like it's a ridiculous thing. You got to understand something. Dario Saric, you know Dario Saric, right? Do you think that Dario Saric is a guy who can play the five?
No, what I think is, here's what I honest to God think, and I don't think this is a controversial opinion. If the amount of minutes Trace Jackson does or does not get is the difference between your team getting rocked by a Kings team in free fall and winning a championship, then you're kidding yourself.
Winning an argument, whispering from the bathroom at 1:30 a.m. is something. Is a place the take has never been taken before.
It almost turns down the volume on the entire argument, right? Because everybody's like, "All right, this guy's whispering. I've got to kind of also reasonable. Whisper too."
Yeah. He's got a new show. Take a shit.
1:30 a.m. Go to sleep.
A deuce.
We were all watching. We were
not all of us.
We were all. Awake watching the game. If Jessica's complaining, Jessica has spent her late 20s complaining about 9:30 starts in the NBA, and you're watching to hate the Warriors or for it to be finished.
Honestly, I really didn't have a dog in that fight, but I did just kind of need to go to bed after Reggie Miller's late game analysis on if Anthony Davis should make his free throws or not. After that, I was like, it's sleepy time. I feel like I'm going crazy.
Is he okay?
All right, let's play that for the audience.
Here's things that you talk about on the bus as players. If he makes the first one, you're up three. Do you try to purposely miss the second one knowing that they don't have any timeouts?
They have no timeouts.
And they've got to go coast to coast because as soon as you miss it, time is going to start as soon as it's touched. Or do you just make them both, be up four, and game over? These are things that's that probably, are discussed.
Yeah, it's not discussed I mean, enough. God. He's right. It's not.
I'm going to take the game over option, Reg.
I'm not like the basketball is not my favorite sport. Like I have other sports that I understand the X's and O's of a lot more than basketball. And when even I'm watching it and I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Then you know it's bad.
Jessica, that doesn't sound right. I called Billy into the room here before the show because I was genuinely curious about something that was on the TV screens in here that I was learning of for the first time, just like I learned that Nick Wright renewed his vows there. And a cold chill ran through me, Jessica, when you informed me of that on air. I did not know how to react because it swept through me with pain that I had not been invited to that because I thought Nick and I were closer than that. I can't imagine how much it hurt Mike. But when I walked in here today...
I'm good.
Well, before you say you're good, wait till you see what I'm about to show the audience. Can you put behind me, please, the promo for what Billy and Stugatz are doing for God Bless Football? So right behind me, they're going to Detroit Draft City, and you see that is a lovely image behind me. For some reason, that is Billy, and I'm told Stugatz that are in,
that's not me.
In Kiss makeup, but I'm pretty sure it's Adam Lefko. It is not Stugatz. Like that.
Is it JoJo Siwa?
It might be Jay Leno. It is not Stugatz. I see Billy in there with Kiss makeup, but when I look at this other person is in no realm Stugatz.
That's Stugatz. That's him. I mean, how do you not know that that's Stugatz? You've been sitting right next to him, and Stugatz is saying that's not him. That's him.
I'm going to need to check dental records on that
it
one.
It doesn't look like him. It looks like it's somebody with a far bigger chin than him.
Yeah. Well, it was younger days. It was like 2 years ago at the Clevelander.
Well, what is that? What are you guys doing? You guys are going to be in Detroit. This is the first time learning of this.
No idea. The Motor City.
Well, guys, very exciting, and I guess this is the announcement. Next Thursday... we're going to be doing a draft watch along.
Wow!
Multi-city draft watch along will be happening. Woo-hoo. That's what these balloons are for. They told you it's about 1 year. It's to celebrate. Woo-hoo. A multi-city draft watch along. You can join us at 8 p.m. and we're going to be taking you roughly between 8 p.m. and the Dolphins pick ish.
Dan, be honest. You're asking for a printout of this to go home with tonight, right?
Whoa.
This doesn't look like Stugatz.
I saw
to
the
me.
Table move a couple of times. He's jealous. He's not in the graphic.
That is Stugatz. Look, that's him. And man, we're going to be joined by some friends. Stugatz is going to be on scene in Michigan. We're not on the scene. He's going to be in Michigan.
In Ann Arbor.
Where's Lefko going to be?
So Stugatz will be up in Michigan. He's going to be there with Mikey A reporting live. I'm going to be here holding down the fort with Jess, with Tony. Juju will be here. More friends will come along. You guys are welcome to attend if you'd like. And then we're going to be trying to check in with Lucy. We're trying to figure out exactly the legalities of that situation because she's going to be at the draft.
He's in Michigan?
Talking to the fans. Yeah, he's going to be in Michigan.
Are you writing off this trip because you're in the state that the draft is being held but not the city?
He'll be in Michigan.
So Northwestern plays at Michigan on Sunday. Winner wins the Big Ten. I'll be writing this all off. I'm very happy about that. Then I just take a little 30-minute drive down to the Motor City and cover the NFL draft. How about that?
You can actually go. I think we can say where they're going to be. If not, we'll just clean this up somehow. Stugatz is going to be at the DraftKings Sportsbook in Michigan. Wow. So it's open to the public. You can go and visit him. You can visit Mikey A. You can take in the draft along with Stugatz in Michigan.
Stugatz looks like Mrs. Doubtfire with the pie on her face.
Were you accusing me of being jealous that I don't get to be at the NFL draft?
No, they're dressed up.
Dressed up.
Did you go to a Kiss concert dressed up?
Do you not know canon?
I did.
How offended was Nick Wright when someone asked him, do you know who Dario Saric is?
Don Lebatard.
We love you. We've got you. We've all got each other. Let's go right now.
Stugatz.
1, 2, 3, Brett. 1, 2, 3, Brett.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We skipped over yesterday a little too quickly, Stugatz, the news that Pablo Torre was breaking on Pablo Torre Finds Out. I do find amusing that a couple of weeks ago, a more difficult story that is legitimately scandalous, where you've got mortgage crisis at the top of the NBA, you have two owners in Dan Gilbert and Matt Ishbia who don't like each other, and it was legitimate great reporting. And a scandal that is super interesting, and it didn't resonate the way that yesterday's news coverage resonated because Pablo Torre unearthed on Pablo Torre Finds Out the recruitment video that the Knicks tried to use on LeBron James. And, Stugatz, it's not just that they ruined The Sopranos. They also ruined The Sopranos' story by telling us the ending that Tony Soprano snitches at the end and ends up in witness protection. But let's play that clip for David Sampson.
Yeah, I'll take you down.
Tony, I'm so glad we moved to New York. Life is so much better now.
Yeah, life's good here, Carl. Even if we are in the witness protection program.
Now, we just got to find a place for your friend LeBron to live. What's he like?
Well, he's a modern guy, but he respects tradition.
Here's something classy on the east side.
Well, is it big enough? It's going to be entertaining a lot of people in New York.
It's very expensive.
Oh, that's not going to be a problem. You got to find something magnificent. Something there's nothing in the world like it, one of a kind, like he is.
Well, here's a place. It says it gets really loud there. Take a look.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's going to be perfect for him.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
So that story has exploded. Pablo Torre Finds Out that video will be the most watched that he's had. What did you make of all of it, David? Because that's 1 minute of it, but it's 10 minutes of recruiting LeBron.
Of course, those videos never mean anything. And you get a mandate from your owner. Hey, we're trying to get this free agent. Let's get celebrities. Let's put their name on the marquee. We'll do a jersey with their name. And players don't care about that. They really don't. LeBron didn't watch that video and say, oh, I want to be a Knick. It didn't even occur to him to care. It's great that Pablo unearthed it. He found out. But from a practical standpoint, it was pretty meaningless.
Wow, you really sucked the air out of that.
Yeah.
What do you want me to tell you? Do you want me to tell you, wow, that video did it. I can't believe LeBron took his talents to South Beach. What did the Heat do to get LeBron? Their video must have been amazing, showing him Fisher Island or Star Island or Fantasy Island. That's not what happened. He became a Heat. That was the worst day of my career when LeBron took his talents to South Beach.
Why?
I was in an elevator on the road because I knew that was it. Total irrelevance for all teams in Miami because LeBron, he was at his in his prime coming to Miami.
Ah.
And we had survived the Shaq stuff, but now it was over. And I knew it the minute he said it. And it had been rumored, but I didn't want it to be true. And it was.
What did the video look like that you guys did for Heath Bell?
It was the game Hangman. It was not
it was
a video.
Bites.
It was, you're going to pay me how much? I'm in.
That's actually exactly what happened, if you want to know.
Well, I saw him pitch. I know that's what happened.
Yeah. We offered him an extra year than anybody else, and we had been told he was the cream of the crop. He basically crapped on the crops. That's the way recruiting goes. It goes with contract length, and in the NBA, it goes with who you can be with, how you maneuver the cap. It's not about Spike Lee or it's not about Gloria Stefan. It's
okay,
just not
but
about
you're
that
you're
stuff.
Just awfully cynical, and I think crapping on crops would help grow them. But you're awfully cynical of going just at every point. It's all about money. Only money matters. It might not sway the decision, but you're not going to tell me that it's not cool to sit there and watch the most popular television show of the time, pretend to give you a new ending with actors of our time. What are you doing? You're saying that doesn't mean anything to anybody?
Saying when they were in the conference room watching the video, I'm not even sure they were watching the video. If you asked LeBron what I would like to have seen on the episode, and I asked Pablo whether or not he would speak to LeBron about this, I want to know what LeBron was thinking during that meeting, because he was meeting with a bunch of teams at the time. Did he have any recollection of any part of that video? And I would say, we're DraftKings to lay odds, it would be 3-1 that he couldn't name one part of the Knicks video.
He remembers laughing at it. I'm totally with David. Like Pat Riley walking in, dumping rings on a table, that's what gets LeBron James.
I will tell you that when Pat Riley was trying to recruit LeBron back in Vegas, to David's point, that LeBron and his guys had to be asked to turn off the World Cup because their feet were on the table and they weren't listening to the recruiting pitch. They were watching a World Cup game.
I imagine LeBron living the meme and just saying, I knew he was in witness protection. I had actually called that. I knew that the entire time.
What I love about that episode of Pablo Torre Finds Out is that Pablo, as such an important journalist, he wants to be known for what he does in journalism, and you sort of buried the lead a little bit. He's way more proud of the Ishbia episode that didn't nearly resonate the way this did, and this is not resonating because of the journalism or because he found out anything. It's resonating because people are saying, wait a minute, now we know how The Sopranos ended. And that's being associated
it's
with
not
Pablo.
Canon.
It's not
it's
just
not
that.
Canon.
It's
sorry.
Not just that. It's everyone loves a leaked video. Everyone loves a leaked video.
Mostly leaked sex videos, not leaked recruiting videos.
Hey, yo. Okay. Showing your hand there.
I mean, wow. A leaked scandal video. Like that's something what? That what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Just what was the scandal?
Like Draymond Green, the TMZ video. Anything that's leaked is made more salacious.
But
by
David's
the fact,
saying this isn't a scandal. It was just a pitch.
Did he dip it in paint?
I mean.
It is a scandal. The scandalous part of this was, can we laugh at the Knicks because they botched a sure thing? They botched a generational talent. How did they botch it? They'd heard rumors of a video, and the video confirms the incompetence. That is why this is it's not just The Sopranos, David. That's part of why this is resonating.
I'm sorry, I've missed the whole thing. You're saying that LeBron is not a Knick because of that video?
I am saying that this story is resonating because you have a leaked video. You have a video that people have wanted to see that is not supposed to be in someone's possession.
Nobody gave a flying rat's ass about the video. What they're talking about is The Sopranos ending.
David,
and the fact David, that it's are not you not the blackout.
David, are you not familiar with how rabid and passionate Knicks fans are? Like, you're talking about a pop culture thing, and you're ignoring how crazed Knicks fans are about
We're
this.
We're a two-seed, though. We have Jalen Brunson.
Like, I mean, you're ignoring that part of what's happening now is New York is getting resuscitated, something that hasn't been here in a long time, which is the world is laughing at us. Watch us. We're going to prove them wrong. We've got lovable Jalen Brunson. Their fan base is being laughed at again today. It's a loud, proud fan base. Don't tell me that the Knicks fan that isn't at the center of this because it allows everybody to laugh at the Knicks.
I don't want to create any issues. I love Metalark and I love Pablo. I'm in New York City and I'm sort of around town. Nobody's talking about that part of it. Nobody.
You're sort of around town.
You're to the streets, Dano.
Like, what does that even mean?
I'm a man of the people.
He's a man of the people.
Sugatsa has got to be in Michigan.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You're sort of around
town.
What
in Ann Arbor?
It means that yesterday, if I must tell you, I got back from Nashville where I did a show, and I'm on my way to Pittsburgh. But I stopped in New York City to unpack and pack. But my girlfriend asked me to go to Times Square to do a scavenger hunt in order to prepare for something that she's doing for the children she teaches. So I was in Times Square for an hour and a half, and instead of paying attention to her and what she was doing, I was asking people about the Pablo episode.
Wow, David Sampson finds out.
A little research.
Bing bong.
And it turns out, whether it was tourists or not, the ones who had seen it, all they wanted to talk about was The Sopranos. It wasn't, oh, woe is me, we didn't get LeBron. Never came up.
Coming for Lucy's stuff.
The saddest man on the street.
We should rebrand you as the ruiner of the man on the street interview. The saddest man on the where you're just lonely and trying to hide in your work instead of your life, and you're just wandering around asking people meant to be a man on the street.
You're a tourist from Guatemala. What do you think about LeBron?
And you're letting see people the video? Way too inside our personal relationship.
You just said it. You said you wandered away from your life to do sad man on the street interviews. We all heard it the same way. I'm not revealing anything about your life. You're revealing it.
It wasn't my finest moment.
There are no Knicks fans in Times Square, also.
No, you'd just be surprised. Right. There's businesses around there. There's office buildings. And it's funny, I wanted to make sure it wasn't just tourists.
Buying a hot dog and just, let me ask you.
You should do it, Dave.
Like you're undercover to the dog vendor.
I would like for you to do that. Can David Sampson do sad man on the street interviews where you get us 12 and a half minutes of content where we could just...
If you are in the New York area and you saw David Sampson just cupping his ear to a halal cart, please let us know. At Levitard Show.
Sampson, how's the tour going? I heard some tension yesterday with Cody making fun of it. The tour is about to end. I think you've done a brave thing trying to hustle your way.
What did Cody do?
Greg Cody.
Oh, what did Greg Cody do? I didn't hear it.
He was mocking the crowds, the size of the crowds, you know, the fact that you're on tour, all of it.
They've been great crowds. There's been great engagement. Every stop is fun. It ends in New York on the 29th, where Pablo will be there. And Dan, you've been threatening to come. I don't know if you will, but it's been, we talked about Nashville sports. We're going to talk about Pittsburgh sports tomorrow. There's a lot to talk about with Russell Wilson. So I've loved it. So I've been asked to continue the tour in different cities. So I'm going to Chicago and St. Louis, dates to be announced, Miami, maybe even Montreal.
The tour has been extended.
I would avoid that stuff.
Wait a minute. The tour has been extended?
I was offered. Remember, the tour is, yes, it's a profitable tour in every way. It's good for Metalark. It's good for me. It's good for Nothing Personal. And I love it. It's a lot of work because I still do the 8 a.m. live shows where I had fun talking about Reggie Miller this morning. But I don't mind traveling. I don't mind escaping my life.
Mm-hmm. Are you allowed in Canada? I mean,
Montreal seems like a bad idea, David. Like, honestly, don't go back to Montreal.
No, Montreal is such a great city. It's been so many years that it's been 20 years. Right. It's enough already.
Since what?
Since very bad things happened.
Caused by whom?
He stole the Expos. And he brought them down here.
I was being sarcastic. I know what happened.
Okay, well, I'm explaining to the audience, lest the audience not know. They might not. They might just associate him with the Marlins stuff, not also the Expos stuff. I'm guessing there are large swaths of our audience that don't know a Montreal Expos ever existed. Tony, can you name an Expo?
Vladdy.
Boom.
A second one?
If it's our audience, it's because of senility.
More with Samson next.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So, when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.